pray again here. Father God, I pray that you would, Lord, that your glory would fall in our hearts today. And Lord, that we could just focus on getting closer and closer to you, becoming more and more like Jesus, Lord, letting your Holy Spirit fall, Lord, and enjoying the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ while we become more and more like Jesus. I thank you for this, Heavenly Father. I thank you for this, Most High God. In the name of Jesus, amen. So when I was living in New York, I met at a Rotary meeting, I met this fella, E.A. Ulrich. And at the time he was in his late 90s and we became fast friends, and he would come over on Sundays for dinner. And one day my son JT at the time was just a little fry. He was about this high and he's looking out the front window and the house is about 150 feet off the road. And he says, Daddy, Daddy, who's that? I said, that's EA, JT. He says, Daddy, Daddy, what's he doing? I says, well, he's running over our mailbox.
They can't see you.
So it's okay. I'll come back. Yeah, they can hear me.
Tom, you do need to stay closer to the
laptop. I'll try, Chris. I have New York feet. It's God gave them to me. I use them when it comes to the Spirit moves me.
Next time use a TENS unit.
A TENS unit to keep me in.
Straight, okay,
I feel, wow, this is a tough crowd. So I went out to EA while he's standing by the side of his car, and I said, EA, you just ran over my mailbox. And he stands up out of his car, and he looks me squarely in the eyes, and he says, your mailbox is on the wrong side of your driveway. So, yeah, you know, I have to tell you that it's always a privilege to be up standing here speaking the word of God. And because those of you that have been here, there's time in the week of preparation where it's just you and the Lord, you know, where the phone is off, the computer's off other than for your notes. And it's just a great week of time with the Lord. And I really love that. I really appreciate that. And I am grateful for this time with you gentlemen this morning. Now, when we look here, let's do a little bit of a recap. Okay. We see the hand of God on the Jews, on the Israelites, right? We see it over and over again, right? We see the hand of God on his people. And right, let's go back to the plagues, right? The frogs, the gnats, the flies, the livestock, the boils, the hail, the locust, the darkness, and the death of the firstborn and the Passover. I mean, a lot's happened in the last few months with these people. And then we see God parting the Red Sea. He wipes out the mightiest army in the world. And these folks don't even have to lift a finger. Wipes out the mightiest army. And then they go to the water of Moriah, and it was sweetened with the timber. They're complaining. And what do they get? Manna. They complain again. They get quail. You know, I'm thinking about, like, you got all these miracles, right? The Passover, the parting of the Red Sea, the 10 plagues. And then they're complaining like God brought us out here to die. You know, seriously. Right. But in the rearview mirror, everything's 2020. But in the moment, you know, they think that, you know, they honestly had to believe that they were going to die. I don't get it. OK. And then they complain and they get more quail. Right. They get quail. Then there's water from the rock. And by the power of God, the slaves of Egypt, the Jews, what do? They overcome the Amalekites. You know, they have a little battle, like, to just top that off, you know. And this is all like in the last few months. I mean, talk about a busy quarter. You know, there's a lot biblically going on here. Okay. And now we're at Mount Sinai, right? Mount Horeb. And years before, this is where Moses met with the Most High God for the first time. And God said, this is hallowed ground. Take off your shoes. So we talk about holy, and there's worthy of worship, respect, reverence, divine, consecrated. Set apart, set aside for sacred purposes, hallowed ground. So what's going on here in chapter 19 is God is getting ready, getting the Jews ready, getting the people ready for Moses to receive the Ten Commandments and for Moses to have a visit with the Most High God and for them to watch. So let me get in here a minute. I got to move over to my book, Chris. Is that okay? I'm going to here. Should I turn this? Does that make it better? Okay. All right. Chris is muted. I can't hear him. I just see his lips moving. I like that. I like that. Yeah. I have a comment that I'm biting my tongue with. Okay. So let's get into it right here in Exodus 19. In the third month, right, these action-packed months, you know, God's action-packed months here, after the Israelites left Egypt on that very day, they came to the desert of Sinai. After they came out of Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. And then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, so here's God speaking right here, okay? This is what you are to say to the house of Jacob, and you are to tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did in Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself.
Chapter and verse, please.
Okay, we are chapter 19, Exodus, and right now we are on verse 4 and 5.
Thank you.
See, we see two kinds of faith here. We see God's existence and God's love. God's existence and God's love, and God cares. When he talks about the love and the eagles, see, the eagles hover over their young, and when they hover over their young, that's God showing us and telling us how much he loves us. How much he loves us. He calls the Jewish people, the Israelites, his treasured possession. How cool is that? God's treasured possession. So now, over here, he says, I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. So I found that significant. I brought you to myself because God's not saying here that I brought you out of bondage. You were 400 years in bondage. He doesn't say I brought you out of bondage. He doesn't say I rescued you from the Israelites. He says, I brought you to myself. And I know when I look at our lives and I look at my life, it's about God bringing me to him, you know, and me pursuing that and being engaged in that. And, you know, a lot of people pray like, God, change me. I think God really wants this. I impressed upon me the last several chapters here is that God is saying to me, help me use my gifts and talents and abilities, the unique abilities that God gave each of us that I don't have Stan's abilities. He doesn't have mine. But we have our own unique abilities that the Most High God put inside of us, inside of each of us. Somebody's calling me. Oh, okay. I thought it was God. You know? Yeah. So, you know, we call on God, right? We call on God. So, Chris, am I in the right frame? Is this good as you can see me and hear me? I can't hear you. Okay.
Yes.
And what do we do with those abilities in the new covenant, which is where we are? It's about becoming more like Jesus. And we can do that through the Holy Spirit. And what an advantage we have in the new covenant that they didn't have in the old covenant. They're about to get the old covenant. They're about to get the Mosaic covenant, right? It's about to happen here. And we have the Holy Spirit. We have the new covenant. We're going to touch on that in a little while because I don't want any of you to be dull. See, I found a scripture that we're going to go to Corinthians and Hebrews later here because I found scripture there that talks about if you're in the Old Testament as a new believer and you're looking at the old covenant, you become dull. Now, I don't want anybody to leave here dull today. Okay, we don't want to be dull. All right. Yes, amen. We want to have the fire for the Lord. We want to strike that match. We want to light the fire. We want to get it to burn hot, and we want to get it to burn big. So where am I going here? Verse 5. Okay. Now if you obey me fully, whoa. Now if, that sounds conditional. That sounds conditional. But if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations, you will be my treasured possessions. See, a lot of times people say, then out of all nations, you will be my treasured possession. But if, if. So God's love here is conditional upon the obedience of the Jews. And the Jews, this old covenant is conditional upon their obedience and the sacrifices, etc. So the whole earth is mine. There's God saying the whole earth is his. The whole earth is mine. The earth is mine. You will be a kingdom for me, a priest, and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. So this is God telling Moses. You know, when you look at what's coming in the next chapter, this old covenant, the Ten Commandments, there are seven thou shall nots in the Ten Commandments. Seven thou shall nots. When we look at Hebrews chapter 8, where the Old Testament is obsolete, see, God had built-in obsolescence in this old covenant. I said Old Testament, I meant to say old covenant. In the old covenant, there's built-in obsolescence. The new covenant makes the old covenant obsolete, and it's replaced by seven thou shalts with seven I wills. We'll get there, and that's going to be fun. Okay, so now Moses is summoned back to the elders. Moses went back and summoned the elders, summoned the elders of God and set before them all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. All the people responded together, "We will do everything the Lord said." So Moses went back and brought their answer to the Lord. See, but God knew the answer before Moses came up. You know, I think God wanted to keep Moses in shape. I mean, come up to Mount Sinai, go down Mount Sinai. I mean, this is like a Stairmaster program, you know, that the Most High God had for this old guy to keep him in shape, okay? I mean, think about it. It's seven. I looked it up. Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai, it's 7,700 square feet. You know, once upon a time I was in Aspen. I took a hike up Ajax and, you know, about for 3 hours, I was asking people, how far are you? You know what they said? Oh, you're about halfway. You know, an hour later, where am I? You're about halfway. That was quite a hike. I mean, this is Moses just isn't like going up a little hill here. This is 7,000 feet that he's making here. So then, he, you know, God knew, okay, I, you know, he knew the answer before he got it. And then the earth is mine. Okay. Now he talks about the priests in verse 6 here. And the priests are supposed to bring humanity closer to God. That's the notion of the priest. And each one of us are priests. And each one of us have moments where we're to bring someone closer to God. Are you ready?
Working.
Okay. So here we go here. And the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today, tomorrow, and have them wash their clothes and be ready for this day, because this day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all people. Put limits on the people around the mountain. Tell them, be careful. Do not go up the mountain or touch the foot of it. For whoever touches the mountain shall be put to death. Okay, this is the death penalty. You know, how many times as parents we say to a child, you do that again, I'm going to kill you. No, but God really meant it. And he could do it in an instant. Right? So he shall surely be stoned or shot with arrows. Not a hand is to be laid on him. I don't get that part, but it's in the word. Whether man or animal shall not be permitted to live. Only when the ram's horn sounds a long blast may they go up on the mountain. So here's God saying, all right, this is the pregame. Get ready. Wash your clothes, right? Put on your Sunday best. This is a really big event that's about to happen. This is the old covenant that's coming to you in 3 days. No sex. Keep your mind on higher things, the things of God. So you're getting ready to get ready. You better put on your Sunday best and wash your clothes. So this is a big deal that's coming right now, this old covenant. After Moses is going down the mountain, he consecrated them. They washed their clothes. He said to the people, prepare yourselves for the third day, abstain from sexual relations. And then on the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning and a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Wow. Everyone in the camp trembled. Yeah, that is a wow. That is a wow. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the foot of the mountain, Mount Sinai, that was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it with fire. The smoke bellowed up from it like smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently and sounded, and the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, and Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. So what's going on here is that Moses is meeting with God. The Jews are witnessing this meeting with God, and Moses is their spokesman to God and from God and speaks to the people. So to the Jews, Moses represents God. And they're part of the crowd and they're part of the meeting, but they're not really meeting personally with the Lord. Moses is meeting with God. In the new covenant, in the Holy Spirit, we get to have the Most High God housed in us. We are a house for the Holy Spirit. So let me keep on going here. So wash your clothes, get ready. This is a big deal coming. God would break out and the fully consecrated are ready to meet with the living God. Right? A man is appointed once to die and then judgment. And it's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. This preparation chapter for the old covenant, we're getting prepared for the Mosaic covenant, for the Ten Commandments right here. Wash your clothes, get ready, keep your heart and mind on the Most High. Do not approach because of his holiness. Later in Exodus, we learn no one can see the face of God and live. In chapter 33, do not touch the mountain, the death penalty. That's what sin deserves, is the death penalty. That's what the law is about, the severity of sin. The Ten Commandments are moral absolutes to be lived and backed by a judging God. At the same time, there's got to be balance, because today, churches and pastors are losing their way, and they preach a legalistic doctrine that can lead to bondage. And we need to recognize that and be careful of that. I'm praying with a pal now, and we're talking regularly, and he's getting ready to leave a church that he's been part of for 30 years with his family, because they're embracing some doctrines that are heretical. Thank you. Hold on a minute. So let me finish up here. The Lord descended to the top of the mountain and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses went up. The Lord said to him, go down and warn the people so they do not force their way through to see. So here's the Lord warning them again. Do not press in. You know, sometimes we have to be told again and again, like we're all parents in this room, right? You have children. I told you, I'm telling you again. I remember I used to do this frequently with one of my kids more than the other. I used to say, think. Action without thinking is the cause of all failure. Think. If I had a dollar for every time I said this to my son, Jeffrey, I'd fill the room. And now what I love is he has a son who's 10, and it's beautiful. I get to watch. Yeah. Thank you, God. Praise you, Lord. Please bless them and bless these men in this room. So God called Moses to the top of the mountain. He said, go down and tell the people to not force their way to see. Okay, I got to tell you again and again. Okay, even the priests approach, and the Lord must consecrate themselves, or the Lord will break out against them. So Moses said to the Lord, here's Moses speaking. Now, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai because you yourself warned us, put limits around the mountain and set apart the body. So you cannot enter, right? You cannot enter. You can't go any further. This is a boundary. You go further, you die, right? That's why doctors are such good salesmen. Take this or die. I'll see you in a week. I mean, think about that. Yeah, like that's like, you know, if That's a great sales technique. You know, I'm your doctor. Take this or die. Thank you, doctor. Okay. But God is the doctor. Okay. So the Lord replied, go down and bring Aaron up with you. See, here we go. The Stairmaster program again. Go down. Come up. Go down. Bring Aaron with you. But the priests of the people must not force their way to come through up to the Lord. Not even the priest, just Aaron, or he will break out against them. There's a significant moment here. They're about to get the old covenant. But we have something that's even better. We have Jesus and we have the new covenant. Something happened in the temple the moment that Christ, Jesus Christ, died. What happened in the temple? The veil was torn. The curtain rent. Top to bottom. What did that give us?
Access to the Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Direct access
to the Holy of Holies, to the Lord Jesus. Right? We're not in the old covenant. No, it's obsolete. We are in the new covenant. So here, let's just take a look at this, because the part I talked about being dull, I know, Chris, I had to move over to turn my page. I like the part where he moves his lips and I can't hear him. Yeah. Just a little aside. One time I was in the backseat of a car, and this girl just got her permit and she was driving, and I was next to her mom and her sister was there, and we pulled around this drive through and she's 16, real pretty girl. And she pulls around, and the fella that was working the drive through at McDonald's, he opens the windows and he looks at this cutie, and his lip was moving and there was no audio. Right. How many times has that ever happened to you? Okay. I thought I'd just, you know, some guys are smiling, other guys are sleeping. I wish you'd wake up. All right. We're going to travel over now to 2 Corinthians. So if you have your Bibles, or if we're going to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, okay. So here we go. And chapter 4, verse 12. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses. Okay, we are not like Moses. Like when you think of the Mount Transfiguration, like, okay, God, when they were going over the Jordan and Joshua's in charge and Moses, you got to go up on the mountain. You're going to die up there. Okay. And then we don't hear from Moses, but then he comes back on the Mount of Transfiguration. But while they're there in the cloud, the Most High God, the Father says what? This is my son. Listen to him. So this is the beginning of the new covenant. We're not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep from the Israelites from gazing at the radiance that was fading away. So he had the glory of God on his face. It was so bright, he had to wear a veil. But then after a while, the glory of God faded. He didn't need the veil, but he kept it on, right? I don't think he wanted people to know that the glory of God faded. So now we get the glory of God, but it doesn't fade. Here it says, but, chapter 4, verse 14, but their minds were made dull. But their minds were made dull to this day. The same veil remains when we read when the old covenant is read. So, warning. Wow. Don't be dull, Will. Don't be dull. We don't want dull, okay? I remember one time I went to the Million Dollar Roundtable and Ben Feldman, I'm on verse 14 about. Okay, but their minds were made dull. On 2 Corinthians chapter 4?
No, you want chapter 4.
Oh, I'm sorry. Chapter 3. You're right. See, Dan knows his Bible. You know, but he drives like a New Yorker. I'm proud of Dan. Yeah. He has the heart of a New York driver. Yeah. But their minds were made dull. Did you find it now, Lowell? Chapter? Yeah. So we don't want anybody dull here, okay? We're not going home dull today. We want to be home. We want to go home sharpened up, okay? For this day, I remember one time I went to a Million Dollar Roundtable meeting, and this Ben Feldman, who was a giant, his son Marvin was speaking, and he was saying about how you know, he's looking forward to closing the bank of dad, and the kids are, you know, still using the bank of dad. And then he says, at my age, I look forward to a dull evening. You know, Sam can relate. Stan can relate to that. Yeah. It has not been removed. Okay. So remains the old covenant is not removed only because in Christ it is taken away. Even to this day, Moses is read as a veil covers their hearts, but whoever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So if we turn to the Lord, right, there's no curtain between us and the and Jesus. There's no curtain between us and the Most High God. There's no curtain. There's no barrier. There's no boundary between us and God. Okay. Now, verse 17, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. How many people have heard the song, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom? Where the Spirit of the Lord is what? Freedom. So you can't be dull and have freedom. Okay? No dullness. And we who, with unveiled faces, all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord. So we're becoming more and more like Jesus. We're becoming more and more and more like Jesus. Bruce, you're becoming more and more like Jesus. Sanctification. Dan, you're becoming more and more like Jesus. You know, Mike Casey is like a more and more like Jesus. You know, he's about to hit you with that. Irv, I don't know anybody who knows Bible scripture like Irv. He just comes out with it. He's like, you don't even have to hit the button. It just comes out of Irv. I love it. I absolutely love it. And remember when we were on fire for Jesus when we first met him? Remember that time? Remember that time? And like, okay, so why aren't we there? Why aren't you there? Are we missing something? Right? What's between? There's nothing between us. The temple veil has been gone. So let's not get tangled up in that. So we're on fire for the Jesus. You know, I love that. My favorite scripture is, we're about to go to it, is in Hebrews. And I love also Ephesians, the first chapter. But we want to be more and more like Jesus, the Holy Spirit in Christ in you, the hope of glory, the hope of glory. And you don't want to be what?
Oh, no.
Wow, you guys are dull this morning. Okay. We're going to move now to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. Okay. We're going to start. I'll be done here shortly. Verse 6. No, let's go to verse 8. But God found fault with the people and said, the time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a what? A new covenant. A new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, and it will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them from the hand and to lead them out of Egypt. Okay. So now, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant, I turned away from them. So here we go right here. What did I say earlier? Chapter 20 is 7. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Thou shalt not have any gods before me. Thou shalt not have any graven images. Thou shalt not use my name in vain. Thou shalt not steal, commit adultery, murder. Thou shalt not covet, false testimony. Thou shalt not. Okay, let's jump right in here. Hebrews 8, 10. The covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will. Now we're on the 7 I wills. That all we have in the new covenant, we have this. So we can't be dull. Okay, so here we go. What's the opposite of dull? Sharp, on fire, right? I will put my laws in their minds. I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God. They will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man to his brother saying, know the Lord, because they will know me. From the least to the greatest, I will forgive their sins. I will remember them no more. By calling this covenant new, he made the first one obsolete. And what is obsolete and aging will soon disappear. So we have the new covenant. And these are just a few thoughts that I want to leave you with. Do you want to go through Moses or you want to go through Jesus? We want to go through Jesus, right? We can go direct to the Father. Something happened in the temple. Moses gave the law. And then in Romans, there's that verse, sin shall not be master over you because you are not under law, but under grace. Romans, sin shall not be master over you because you're not under law, you're under grace. So what the Israelites are about to get is the law. Doesn't apply to us. If we spend too much time on the law, what happens to us? We get dull. We've been in the law a lot. So I brought us over here to the seven I wills, right? I will. All right. Sin shall not be master over you. So with Moses, what did the Israelites have? They had limited access. You stay here by the bottom of the mountain. I go, like, God called Moses up and God called Aaron up. Okay, you stay here. You go any further, you die. You get the death penalty. Today, we have open access to the Father. And there was forgiveness in the Old Testament, what? With continuous sacrifice, continuous blood sacrifice. And then there's all these laws, right? Now, but here we don't, I will put my laws in their minds. I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God. I will be their God. I will be in you. I will be in Christ, in you, the hope of glory. I will. So there's no dullness here, not in any one of you. So the old covenant. Now I looked in, so I'm looking through this, and there's a lot of pastors that teach tithing. I couldn't find in the new covenant, I couldn't find one teaching on tithing from Jesus. I looked up tithing in my concordance, and it talks about the Pharisees, who were a million miles from Jesus, tithing their mint and their dill and da 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 da, and that they were part of who helped kill him. I'm just saying. So you are a house of the Holy Spirit. He is in you. You are a house of the Holy Spirit. God is saying to you, I will. I will. So bring your prayers because you can, and call on your Father. Call on your Abba Father and let him know, I'm not dull. And your word says, I will. I will. I will. God is saying to you, I will. God is saying to me, I will. The temple veil is torn. And I want to just encourage you guys, your homework this week is to read the first few verses in Ephesians and let the Spirit come upon your heart. And remember, I will versus the thou shall nots.
Well, what were the other six? You said one of them. You know, that's what Jonah prophesies this too. It's not enough just to obey the law. You have to go out there and try to change evil. Is that what you're trying to say?
No, I'm saying that we have direct access to the Father. The veil, there's nothing in the way. Moses was the only one who had direct access to God. The rest were observers. We're no longer observers. We're in the game. We can go directly to our Father and speak to him direct. There's nothing in the way.
I'm talking about the way of the earth. Jonah didn't want to do what God told him to do. He wanted to convert the Ninevites and make them good people instead of evil. Well, that's not in the commandments that you're supposed to stick your neck out and try to convert evil.
Well, that's where in prayer, Joe, if I may encourage you, all right, God wants each of us not to pray, God, change me. I don't believe that. I think that God wants to say, use your gifts, use your talents, use your purpose for God. And God, help me define that. Help me get clear on that. Help me know what you have in store for me. What is it that you want me to do? Be clear. Is there moments today where I need to speak to someone? Is there moments today where you're going to bless me? Is there moments today? And so it's about asking God to direct you and your talents and your gifting that only you have. See, Joe, you have to be you. You know why? Everybody else is taken. You got to be you, right? You got to be you, just like I got to be me. I mean, can you imagine being stuck with this, you know? So this has been great for me. I hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Okay. And remember, you're in the new covenant. Okay. We're about to learn all about the old covenant, but don't get dull. Thank you. All right.